Hey everyone, I'm Chris Hall and you're listening to the Downtime Podcast, where we take you inside the world of elite mountain biking. Before we get going with this week's episode, I just want to say a massive thank you to everyone that's been listening. It means a huge amount to us. Just today, someone put up some photos on Instagram of them driving down to Bike Park Wales, listening to the show in their van. And it's super cool to see that you're, you know, listening to this exactly how we hoped you would. So we really appreciate it. Keep in touch. Give us a review on iTunes or let us know how you're getting on with the podcast on social media, where we're Downtime Podcast on Instagram, The Downtime Podcast on Facebook, or Downtime Tweets on Twitter. So this is episode 10 and we're pretty lucky to have a very special guest. And it's this week's Fort William World Cup winner, Greg Minnaar. Greg is an incredibly busy person, as I witnessed firsthand at Fort William this weekend. Not only was he juggling bike setup, but he also had to deal with media inquiries, multiple interviews, TV commitments, buses full of school kids, signatures, sign-in sessions. You know, he was everything for everyone, and he did a fantastic job of it. It was really cool to see him acting as a complete professional, being super respectful to everyone, yet still getting the job done and winning on Sunday. So Greg joined us. We managed to find a bit of time with him on Friday morning before practice. It's a bit shorter than our usual episodes, but we didn't want to keep him from winning the World Cup, so we let him get on and do some riding. But I hope you find it interesting. There's some really good stuff in there. I know I enjoyed chatting with him. Greg's also been very kind, and along with O'Neill, they've provided a race jersey, which has been signed by Greg, for us to give away on the podcast. So if you want to be in a chance to win that, all you've got to do is follow us on either Instagram, where we're Downtime Podcast, or on Facebook, where we're The Downtime Podcast. We'll go in on the 30th of June and we'll pick one of you lucky followers, get in touch, and then O'Neill will send you the jersey. Okay, without further ado, let's welcome Greg Minnaar. Greg Minnaar, welcome to The Downtime Podcast. Thanks for taking some time.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, thank you.
Awesome. So, it's Fort William. We're here. The sun's out. It's round two of this year's World Cup, and it's round two with the new version of the Syndicate. How's that going for you? How are you settling in with the new guys on the team?
Yeah, it's sun's out for now. Yeah. How long that's going to last. No, it's been good. We've had quite a big change in with having Loris and Luca join in, and the guys have adapted well. I think they've kind of settled into how the Syndicate operates, which is slightly different. In fact, it's probably quite a bit different to most teams, and I think at first they're a little nervous, and I think when they saw how everything seems to work out in Lourdes, you know, obviously not in the final but in the qualifying, I think they're comfortable with the way we go about things.
Do you think they bring something to the team? Is it a different energy this year?
Yeah, it's definitely different. I mean, Josh and the Rat were with us for what, I don't even know how many years, probably 7 years, 8 years. So it's been a long time together. So it definitely is different. And I think with time and when the guys get more comfortable, you know, the characters will come out. But we're really having good fun. So, you know, so far it's been cool. It's been good to see the guys get loose a bit, have a good laugh. And I'm sure everyone else will start to see it on the web vids.
Excellent. Good stuff. They're obviously both young, super competitive, very fast riders. How does that impact you? Does it help? Does it push you?
Yeah, it does. You know, we had a saying on the team, if you can't be the fastest on the day, at least be the fastest in the team. So so the pressure's on, which is good, you know. And you know, although we are racing super close and you know, in Lourdes, we're in qualifying like first, third and sixth. It's pretty tight. But at the same time, we're able to help each other, and it's nice to be able to be there for them, and then they can show me new ways of the way these young guys ride. I mean, the good thing is we've got two different styles. Loris's style is so much different to Luca's, and I think they can find a great combination, which is cool, and I can mediate and help each other down and then just learn some from both young guys. So yeah, I think it's really cool. It's a good dynamic.
Excellent. Good stuff. And we can't be here at Fort William, unfortunately, and not mention 29ers. Yeah. They're clearly a step forward and something new. What I'm interested in is they are new. How much time have you had to work on the bike, to be on the bike? How optimized do you feel that package is at the moment?
Yeah, we started the bike. We started talking about the bike last October and went through until December where we actually kind of designed the bike. and there was no rushing about doing it. We had the spring rates that we wanted to try out, and different ratios for the rear shock. We knew the angles that we wanted, the bottom bracket height, and it was just a matter of trying it out in an aluminium version swing arm, because we managed to be able to use our front triangle, which somehow managed to fit perfectly in the program. We didn't really build around it. It just somehow worked out. And so we thought, why not? So we went from there into testing the aluminium swing arm. Luke had shorted the initial test just to see how it actually rode. And he loved it. So then we decided to go ahead with the carbon swing arm because we're under pressure to try and make sure we had a proper full race ready bike by Lords.
Yeah.
And so they had to go ahead there. We all met up in Italy and we all had a run on the bike. Actually, Loris went over to America to test as well. I stayed at home. I needed some home time. So I didn't do the back-to-back testing.
Right, okay.
Loris and Luke did their own back-to-back testing. I was ready. My mind was made up just on the fact that I'd feel more centered in the bike with the bigger wheel. And so we went to testing in Italy and I didn't even take my 27 bike.
Wow. Okay.
I actually didn't even think of taking it to do back to back, but the others had theirs, so they've messed around a bit. But I just got on the bike, went home, did some riding, but kept it very under wraps. We didn't want to kind of release it to anyone until we got to Lord, so that, you know, it's tough trying not to ride downhill and then to ride downhill, get ready for the season. Mm-hmm. So we had enough time, and then in Portugal testing, we had the full carbon bikes, and we were race ready, everything was prepped. Not like Claudio Calori says, being unprepared. I don't know where he gets that crap from. Don't know where he makes up half his shit. But, you know, we're fully prepared. Tires, rims, the whole lot, as if we were racing 27.5.
Sweet. So do you think there's any more speed to be found in those bikes? Or do you think that you've obviously had more hours than anyone else probably in the paddock on a 29, a downhill bike. Do you think it's as good as it can be right now? Or do you think there's more to come?
I think, like with anything, I mean, we progressing all the time. You know, we'll change suspension halfway through the season most years and find new dampening, or Santa Cruz will feel that, or we'll report back to Santa Cruz on what we're feeling in the bike, and they'll try and change something else. So we're forever progressing and developing. I think the wheel just was something that maybe caught some people by surprise, and then created this whole fuss, which, you know, it's a race bike. You don't have to go and ride a 29-inch bike if you don't feel that's going to be the bike for you. It's what we're racing on. And because we're trying to push the limits and the boundaries of what can be done on a mountain bike.
Yeah, cool. So there's a lot of people that have followed suit, I guess. There's a few, maybe use the term bodged 29ers kicking around the pits this weekend. You've got something that looks like a pretty special, you know, full factory, ready-to-go package. That's got to put you in a good place. You're 6 times winner here at Fort William.
Yeah.
What does it take to win here 6 times? Like, what's the key to this place?
Well, yeah, we didn't expect people to be so, I don't know if it's we didn't expect or we actually didn't really care, but people have botched together a lot of bikes and, you know, everyone for themselves. I think we are a bit ahead of the curve. Although some guys would say that, they've been working on it for 4 or 5 years, but if you've been working on a bike for 4 or 5 years, why weren't you racing it two years ago?
Yeah.
So I don't understand that mentality. I think that was a great marketing excuse for poor execution. So anyway, we are a step a little bit ahead. I think coming into Fort William, it is a track I've done well on, and I think we're ready. I think we've done a lot to the bike, to the suspension, to cater. It's a tough track. You know, there's a lot of deep G outs with a lot of rough spots in the bottom of the G out.
Yeah.
So it's quite key to get that suspension working. But then you can't set it up for every hole up top because you've got some high speed jumps that the back end will just start kicking. So it's a bit of a tricky one. But I think we're in a good spot, and we're just gonna have to give it a go.
Excellent. And yeah, you walked the track yesterday. There's a fairly substantial new section, I guess, in the kind of the middle part of the track. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, although it's quite welcoming because you get to that section of track and your hands are absolutely messed up. And I mean, it's tougher in practice than a race. In a race, you've got adrenaline and everything else, so you just bum down the whole thing. But it's when you get to halfway and now you go into this new section, I think it's going to be a relief through practice. But, you know, I kind of like the old bit. I like okay. that rough, fast section that we're going to miss out. But I think this will, within the rain and everything else, I think it's going to rut up quite well.
Yeah.
I think it'll be good. They've worked hard on it. They've made it quite a new section. It's got some big gaps. And
yeah, it looks fast as
you
well.
You know, I think it'll be fun to ride. It's a bit bike barky, but it's cool. I guess this whole track is man-made, but it's pretty rugged until you get to it. So I think it'll be fun.
And a little bit of a tale of two tracks. Having walked it myself yesterday, you've got a lot of, you know, almost concretey, very hard surface, lots of rock, and then you suddenly turn into a quite steep, loose, you know, loamy, almost lots of roots. How do you go about approaching that from a setup perspective? Because it almost looks like you need two different bikes.
It is a couple of tracks mixed into one. It's hard. I mean, I think we're kind of lucky running on the VPP. The VPP is just an amazing platform to pedal on. So, you know, I've seen on a few bikes guys going to lockouts and stuff for Fort William.
Yeah.
I don't think it's very necessary for us. I think our bike pedals well enough. And then, yeah, it's we've got enough travel to take the big hits, and it's just a matter of getting that suspension really supple for the rocks, you know, and trying to push that. I think once you get down halfway, I think it's just about carrying speed, so it will just be about handling that probably faster reacting suspension.
Okay.
You need up top.
Yeah. And is there any tire choice here, or is it there's no way you'd go to spikes?
No, it's a track that holds really well in the wet. I mean, the woods are always going to be tricky. They always seem to rut up, and it does make it a bit tricky when it's wet because you're on dry tires. There's no way you'll get down on mads in any decent time. And the woods this year are tricky. It's a longer wood section. It's fresh, so some more roots are going to come out, and then you can drop in the same woods we did last year. But it's still really rutted from last year. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting, but it's a nice tech section in the middle of the track.
And quite a lot of rainfall overnight, so could be a little bit interesting.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's going to keep raining throughout the weekend.
Any strategy then for practice today? So you're going to head up fairly soon. Do you have a certain approach that you take through practice to get up to speed, or is it a place you know so well you kind of almost fast straight out of the blocks?
It's a track that is hard to ride slowly. It's that rough, and I think everyone does seem to know it that well, that we can get up to speed quite quickly. For me, I try and take it easy through the weekend, and it's very physical, so I try and do as little runs as possible.
Excellent. Okay. Aerodynamics. So it's a fairly open course at the top. It's obviously pretty high speed. Is there any focus on aerodynamics for you guys at all?
There's not a heavy emphasis on it, but there are bits where you're going to plan to tuck, set more conserve energy. But it is super fast, so it is something that, you know, we do think about, but it's not a priority. I think carrying speed is the biggest priority for us.
And Loris was on Specialized team last year. They spent a bit of time in the wind tunnel. Have you learned anything from him on that?
Not really, no.
Interesting. Okay. So let's talk a little bit more about bike setup. And it's a bit of a mystery, I think, for a lot of people. If you had to try and kind of simplify it and maybe just focus on some of the key variables, what things would you look at getting set up properly and changing on your bike?
For me, it's bar height. Bar height's really important for downhill. When you see it from like a beginner level or intermediate level, the guys seem to try and run the handlebars as low as possible. And it's really hard to ride a bike when you've that bent over. So it's harder to look further ahead. I think bar heights and mainly just your cockpit setup is really key.
So how do you go about getting the bar height right then?
It's really tough. You don't want to go too far.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, with experience, you understand the feeling that you need to get to be able to let off the brakes. But yeah, it's I don't know if it's more a fashion thing around the world of people slamming everything as far down as possible, but it's not really the way we run our bikes.
Okay, so is it about getting your body position right on the bike?
It's more your body position. Yeah.
And so you feel in the right place, you're looking a long way ahead.
Sure.
Rather than
you don't want to be too weighted on the bars.
Okay, interesting stuff. So greatest of all time record that you got last year. How do you think that's come about? Like, what is it about you or your character that's enabled you to have such a long career with such success throughout?
I don't know. It's something I never really set out to do, and didn't think about becoming or anything like that. I think towards the end, it's been maybe the move to Santa Cruz that's helped me just enjoy the traveling, enjoy being on the road a bit more. It's tough, you know, but we have such a great time, and yeah, we do have a good time. Race is serious, but you know, work hard, play hard mentality seems to work well.
And is it a drive and determination that you think that you have maybe that others don't, to continue this long and work this hard?
Oh, I'm definitely competitive, and I think, you know, one of the things I've had to do is keep adjusting and changing with how things are. If I look back to not necessarily the bikes that I rode 5-10 years ago, but the way the suspension was set up, it's completely different to the way the bike is set up now. And it's so easy to get stuck in the way of what worked then, you know. It's definitely not going to work now. And that's probably something, progression is definitely being a part of it.
And the sport feels a lot more professional. I think the last World Cup I was at was in 2001 in Leyte.
Mm.
And if a team had a small van, they were doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Here in Fort William many years later, and there's a lot of big rigs around, clearly a lot more money in the sport. Are you having to work a lot harder throughout the off season and through the season to maintain the level you need to be at for this sport now compared
definitely.
To back then?
Yeah. The training is a lot more intense. And also with my training, I've had to adjust that along the way as well. But yeah, things have changed a lot. It is more professional. And on one side, I still try and have a bit of the old school mentality to you know, you got to have a bit of fun.
Yeah, and do you think that helps? That's been part of the longevity.
It's hard. I mean, if you're training so hard day in, day out, and you get to week and everything's stiff, and, you know, you can't relax and have a good time. You know, you just had to put this added pressure on. So, yeah, we try and keep it pretty chill.
Cool. You're now one of the older riders on the circuit, I guess. How has that, you know, how's that changed you? Are there positives and negatives to that?
Nah, I don't know. I haven't really thought about it. I just keep going with how things are. I'm having a good time racing. I think I'll keep going until I'm not competitive. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Excellent. And do you think a win's on the cards this weekend? Is it something you're aiming for?
I think so. I've had some good testing, and the pace is definitely, I think, Lords, even in the wet conditions, being able to come out on top of all the other guys who had to face the wet conditions shows that I'm still competitive and I still can put it together. And it's just a matter of putting it together, I think.
How was that run at Lords? Because you were obviously at that point fairly unlikely to win, given the conditions. Everyone said that it was like an ice rink. Yet you were pushing pretty hard. You were smashing it.
Yeah, I was. I just felt that I needed to try and get some points. And you never know. I don't, you know. And you got to race. You got to do your best. And that was my best I could do. So.
And do you? You're at the top, and the conditions are like that. Are you trying to toy up between whether to push and potentially get injured and wreck the rest of the season? What's going through your head?
Well, no, I didn't really think about injury. The first thing was tire choice. My mechanic went to wet tires, and I had a look down the start ramp. It was just way too shiny and way too hard packed that spike wouldn't dig in. So, I told him to go back to dries, which was a bit of a panic, and. I felt like even on the wet rock, the dries would be a little bit better than a mud tire. So I think we made the right choice, and yeah, it was a hell of a scary run, but yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, it was impressive. It was good to watch.
Thank you.
Good stuff. So thinking back, you started racing a long time ago. I remember watching you at British Nationals racing for the Orange Animal team back in the day. If you could rewind the clock and have a chat with your 15-16 year old self, what advice would you give him?
I don't know. Because it's been a hell of a good tour so far. So I don't know if I would say give myself any advice, but to just do it all over again. I think, you know, I was fortunate enough to have a hell of a good time on the road and also scrape some results together at the same time. There's an edit coming up pretty soon. And it ends with my father just having a go at me for not ever working. So at 35 and having your father tell you that you've never worked a day in your life, I think that's pretty good going.
Good work. Yeah. Sounds like, yeah, you've had a good innings on the circuit so far, for sure.
Yeah, that's
good. And what about for other young riders out there? What kind of advice would you give people that are setting out, getting into racing and looking to maybe emulate the success that you've had?
I mean, racing's good and fun. And the hard side to racing is the training. So you've got to be dedicated to train. Racing is what you do for fun. I'm a competitive person. I love racing, and I'm always going to enjoy it. So if you can see yourself training hard during the week to be able to have fun on weekends and race, then that's where you need to go. But a lot of guys, I think, feel that they put all the effort into the racing, and during the week it's all good fun hanging around, jumping and whatever, but it's really where the work gets done.
Yeah, and the sport, maybe back in the day you can get away with that, but these days it's,
I mean,
I never really trained back.
I just used to dirt jump with Steve Gill, so it worked back then. It doesn't work now.
Excellent. Steve Gill's still racing, I think. I saw him recently.
Saw it was his 50th birthday last week, so it's good to see him still kicking about.
Good stuff. Okie dokie. Well, we should let you crack on. It's getting round to for first practice. So I hope you have an awesome weekend.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, look forward to seeing how you get on.
Cool. Thank
Good
you.
Luck. Cheers, man.
Well, that's it for episode 10 of the Downtime Podcast. Really hope you enjoyed listening. If you did, then let us know. Give us a review on iTunes or get in touch on social media. We'd love to hear from you. Don't forget, if you want to win a signed O'Neill jersey signed by Greg Minnaar, World Cup winner at Fort William, and hopefully many more this season, then all you need to do is follow us on Instagram, where we're at Downtime Podcast, or on Facebook, where we're at The Downtime Podcast. We'll choose a winner on the 30th of June, and we'll get in touch to get you your prize. So from next week, we'll be back on our usual release schedule, so tune in on the 13th of June for the next episode. Until then, get out and ride.